Now, patients who sought to be reimbursed for legitimate costs they incurred after receiving essential medical treatment abroad were not reimbursed by the health service, an investigation has found. In sickness and in debt, a probe by the Ombudsman Gerard Deering discovered that an unreasonable and inflexible approach was used by the HSE in administering schemes that fund treatment abroad for healthcare, which the state is either unable to provide itself or unable to provide in a timely manner in Ireland. Some of this inflexibility led to some people falling into debt. And with me on the line to talk about this and the Ombudsman's engagement in Kerry is the Ombudsman, Gerard Deering. Gerard, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gerry. It's good to be with you. Thank you.
Were you surprised by your findings here, that you found this inflexible approach, this kind of unreasonable approach when it came to giving people back the money they were entitled to?
Well, we were certainly disappointed, but maybe we weren't surprised in the sense, Gerry, that we had seen this through our work where a number of complaints had come in to our office over the years. And while it's important to recognise that the schemes work very well generally, and about 5,000 people I think a year may avail of them, we were finding that some people, having had the treatment, found themselves tripped up at the last hurdle in terms of having the money refunded. And this was, as you've mentioned, having paid for the treatment and travelled abroad to have the treatment done, they were then unable to recoup the money, very often through mistakes that other people had made. And certainly some of them were, you know, very, what I would call, bureaucratic mistakes.
Were they into a bureaucratic quagmire here?
A little bit of that, yes. I'll give you a few examples, maybe. One of the first things you need is a referral letter, and that makes sense that you need to be referred for this treatment by your GP or maybe by a consultant. And we came across a situation where referral letters weren't dated by a GP, or in one case, the GP's secretary signed it on the GP's behalf. Now, it was emailed from the GP's email to the hospital, and later the GP actually gave a letter to state, you know, that was the referral letter, but the view was taken, well, you can't correct the lack of a signature at a later date. In another case, the referral letter was directed to a section of the hospital, the ENT section, rather than to a consultant within the hospital. And we felt that this was an over-bureaucratic approach. You know, the person had met the other requirements. They actually had a referral letter. They actually had had the treatment. They had paid for the treatment. And we felt that in that instance, they were entitled to a refund. Another thing, Gerry, which people need to watch for, and there's been learning for the HSE and indeed, I think, for patients in terms of our investigation, because there are certain criteria that can cause a difficulty, but indeed exclude people from the scheme. For example, if a certain portion or a too large a portion of your income comes from another jurisdiction, and many of the people we dealt with were pensioners and had a pension from mostly the UK, as it happened. Initially, the HSE didn't ask on the application form whether you had a pension from another or an income from another jurisdiction. Later they introduced that question, but they didn't explain why. So we found a situation where a number of people who had pensions from other jurisdictions had actually had the treatment done legitimately, had reclaimed the money from the HSE. The HSE later discovered that they had a pension and then sought to have that money recouped from the person, which you can imagine was very distressing at that stage. Yeah. So I'm glad to say we made 21 recommendations in this report, and I've met with Bernard Gloucester in the early stages of his new role as CEO of the HSE, and he has committed to implementing all the 21 recommendations of the report.
Okay, so the findings here have led to changes internally so that other people won't be going into the same morass, shall we say, on these issues.
Exactly. That's the whole aim, is that to improve the scheme.
Yeah. There's a number of different schemes here. There's the treatment abroad scheme, the EU cross-border directive scheme, and the Northern Ireland planned healthcare scheme. Were there particular problems with the two schemes where people had to pay their money up front, the cross-border directive and the Northern Ireland one?
Correct, particularly the cross-border directive one. You're right. In those schemes, you pay the money up front. In the other scheme, the third scheme, the treatment abroad scheme, you get sanctioned in advance, and therefore, you know, if you're approved for that, the payment is made by the HSE. They take care of those things, which means you're not left having paid out the money and having to have it refunded. So the cross-border directive one was the one where we found most problems. And the Northern Ireland, the scheme was introduced because of Brexit, when the UK left the EU, this scheme was put in place. And it mirrors the cross-border directive And I'm also very happy to say that we've met with the Department of Health, who have agreed to implement the recommendations of this report in relation to when they put that Northern Ireland scheme on a legal footing. It's currently only on what's called administrative footing.
Okay, and from there then, when it comes to this, the important thing is that that was done or has been done, because it occurs to me that people getting this treatment in the first place, they've got the illness, they've been waiting perhaps maybe a long time, they have the anxiety of having to travel perhaps a long distance to get this treatment, the recovery, and then they were into a whole new ball game of fighting for money.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, for anybody having any medical treatment, it's an anxiety and it's not something any of us want. We hope to be able to be healthy and avoid these. The next best thing, if you need treatment, is that you can have that treatment as locally and as close to home as you can. So you're right, travelling for treatment is puts a certain anxiety and pressure on people, and to then find that after all of that, that you ended up with a debt. And some of these people borrowed money from a credit union, some of them borrowed money from family, and then they're very distressed at the fact that they did it in good faith, assuming that they would very soon have a refund to give back to those people, and yeah, that didn't transpire then, which caused problems.
We're not talking small numbers here. The HSE last year, 4,809 applications for people living in Ireland to avail of healthcare treatment from another country.
Absolutely. There's a large number of people who avail of the schemes. Thankfully, we were talking about a relatively small number of people who had a difficulty, if you like, with the schemes. But the problem is, for each individual who has that difficulty, it's very important and very significant for them.
Is it possible to say, Jordi, you have much engagement with people in Kerry on these issues?
Yeah, we have. I mean, Kerry is kind of similar to other areas of the country. There's nothing that stands out as being particularly different, but we do, and I know in 2021 and last year also, we received, I think it's somewhere over 100 complaints from Kerry. There may even be more, because we don't necessarily record every complaint that comes from a particular area. And the kind of complaints that we receive are against all public bodies, so it could be the local authority, it could be the health service, it could be hospitals. So we also take and deal with complaints against private nursing homes, because they receive so much funding from the state. We deal with complaints in that area as well. And the key thing to say to people is, Jerry, that, you know, if they have a complaint in the first instance, they should go back to the public service provider that they got the service from. If they're not happy with the response from there, they can come to our office, and we will seek, firstly, to try and resolve whatever the issue is informally between the person seeking the service and the service provider. If that doesn't work, we go into a formal investigation. And I suppose the area we've just been talking about is a good example of a third role that we have, where in the event that we see a particular pattern of complaints or type of complaints, I can carry out what are called own initiative investigations. I can instigate an investigation. And for example, we're receiving a reasonable number of complaints in relation to housing and the HAP scheme, the Housing Assistance Payment Scheme. Not surprisingly, given that, I suppose, the issues with the lack of housing and homelessness, and also the number of people that are on the HAP scheme. But we're looking to see at the moment if there are things that can be improved in how that scheme is actually administered.